Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender.
Folks, and thank you once again for coming to A Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find the Patriot Journalist Network on www.patriotjournalist.com. And you can also find the website to Bard's Logic Political Talk by going to www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And there you can go to a few pages such as the Get Involved page and see some links and some videos. One of those videos goes to a website called the David Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, in which for only $50 a year, you can sponsor a baby elephant whose parents were killed by poachers. It's a wonderful organization. I ask that folks go check it out, and you can find that by going to the Get Involved page on the Bard's Logic Political Talk website. And there you can click a button that says Save an Elephant, as well as enjoy a movie there or video, in which you'll be able to watch one of the rescues. And also, for coming up shows, on January the 17th, which is next Thursday, we will have a special guest on. Her name is Julia Newman. Some of you might have heard of her works from doing the – she composes the music for the show Bones, which is on the Fox Network. And she will be coming on to the show for an interview next Thursday the 17th. And once again, that's Julia Newman. And of course, you can see her page at www.julianewman.com. And she spells her last name Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N-N, with two N's. So check it out. And then also check out next week's show to hear the interview with her. Now, tonight, we have many special guests that you will hear. And we will be talking about sheriffs as the last line of defense. And if one understands that the sheriff is the supreme law enforcement officer in the county, and that respects the Constitution, gun confiscation fears become you. For example, Sheriff Joe Aparlio has a very large posse, is a very large posse composed of deputized citizens. And we will have some sheriffs joining us tonight. But first, I will be opening up the mic to a very good friend of mine, and also someone I'm sure you folks have learned to listen to and to like, and that is Kelly Mordecai. Of course, he's got the book out, The Hidden Fourth Branch, and you can also check out his website at www.hiddenfourthbranch.com. And Kelly, at this time, I will leave it to you. Thank you very much for calling in and setting things up for tonight's show, because this is the people's show. So go ahead.
Well, thanks, Robert. I'm really excited. I'm beyond excited. And you talk about funding elephants, so, you know, that might not be a bad idea. We have a potential lawsuit in Delaware going on with Sheriff Jeff Christopher. He'll be joining us shortly, as well as his legal counsel, Carson Tucker. The Delaware State Legislature, in their infinite wisdom, decided to take the arrest power away from the county sheriff. Now, what does that mean for you and me? Well, the sheriff is the supreme law enforcement officer of the county, and there up in Klamath County, Oregon, near where I live, there was a federal agent who was arrested by a sheriff. There's some little petty details I won't go into. But the sheriff actually holds his power. Now, the concern is, you know, gun legislation, et cetera, gun grabs. What scares me in a very possible scenario, okay, just down the road, 5 years, maybe sooner, the arrest powers are taken away from one state, then the next, and the state is really, really poor, so the feds decide to give a lot of money to, say, the state of Delaware, under the conditions, contractual terms for this money, go start grabbing the guns. We'll work with your state troopers, and we'll send in federal agents. Well, when the sheriff has his arrest power, as historically will be explained by Special Counsel Tucker, as well as Sheriff Christopher, they can't do that. So I want to hopefully we got him online now. Carson and Sheriff Christopher, are you there?
Yeah, I will be opening up his mic. Go ahead, Sheriff Christopher. Is he there? Let me check another one of the mics. I believe I opened up Carson Tucker's mic, but here I'll go and open up the sheriff's as well. Go ahead, both your mics are live.
Good evening, Sheriff Christopher here.
Hello, this is Carson
Tucker. Good evening.
Hello, Sheriff Christopher also here.
Well, great.
Go ahead, Kelly.
I know Carson was having some cell phone something or other calling technical difficulties. He'll probably be joining us, but... yeah.
Can you guys hear me? This is Carson. I'm here.
Oh, good, good. Okay, good, good. Well, yeah, why don't you guys tell us about yourself a little bit? You know, a little bit of background.
Go ahead, Carson.
Okay.
Let them know.
Okay, hey, this is Carson Tucker. I'm a lawyer in Michigan. Got involved with defending county sheriffs over in Wayne County, Michigan, when the county executive officer attempted to restrain the sheriff's budget and remove jail correctional officers from his staff, and having failed to do that, when we brought a mandamus action on behalf of the sheriff to stop him from doing so, went after the sheriff's executive staff, and the sheriff's executive staff is a privileged staff. so I got involved in this this lawsuit as well. We filed another lawsuit to stop him from doing that, and over the course of a couple of years, starting in 2009, I began to educate myself on the constitutional common law powers of the county sheriff in the United States and what that particular designation means, in particular for America, because the county sheriff wasn't the county sheriff, but the sheriff, the office of sheriff, has existed prior to the Norman conquest. In England, it was an office that was held in very high regard. In fact, the sheriffs had judicial powers back then until the passage of the Magna Carta. Now, when the Magna Carta was passed, they removed the sheriff's judicial authority, but not his authority to enforce the law and conserve the peace on behalf of the people in his shire or county, as the case may be. What happened in America when the individual states, through the plan of the Constitutional Convention, got together and passed their state constitutions, they named the sheriff as a constitutional officer to serve as the chief executive law enforcement officer on behalf of the county and the citizens in that county who elected their chief law enforcement officer. And what this did was give the sheriff in the states, in the United States of America, what I call the constitutional imperative. And what that means is that all of the common law powers, the primary one of which being the power of arrest, was forever ingrained and preserved in the states, the respective states' constitutional hierarchies, such that the only means to remove that power is through constitutional amendment. And so I practice law. I defend law enforcement officers. I defend governmental entities, governmental agencies, but I also defend county sheriffs and have, again, as I said, come to appreciate the essential role in preservation of our republic that the county sheriffs have through the wisdom of our founding fathers, who saw to it that each respective state would have the ability to do this. So, and Sheriff Christopher and I have talked many times, and like I said, I represent several county sheriffs in Michigan, and, this is an uphill battle, because I think the collective ignorance of the legislature, the legislators of the respective states, the judiciary as well, don't really appreciate this constitutional imperative that the sheriffs have. And so,
Carson Tucker, I may I call you counsel Tucker? What's really
Absolutely.
Neat here is you. Yeah, what's really neat is what you understand, you now have a situation and a sheriff, obviously Sheriff Christopher, that is willing to stand for the principles you believe in. And I just kind of want to get his background a little bit, how he came to understand this power in his line of work, if you will, and where you guys are going with it. So go ahead.
Sure.
Good
evening. And thank you for having me on the show. I guess I can start out by saying that I'm a 27-year veteran of police work. I went through the ranks, came to the academy in the early 80s in Maryland, and I worked as a police officer on the road and worked my way up through the ranks and became the chief of police. And after I decided to retire or semi-retire, because I still hold a certification there, I decided when we moved just over the line into Delaware from Maryland, we moved into Sussex County, and that geographically located at the bottom end of the state, just before it connects into the Worcester and Wicomico County areas, which is where Ocean City is located, for those of you who may understand that the terminology as far as the beach is concerned. But the one thing, I did have a short stint in the sheriff's office prior to me becoming the sheriff as a chief deputy, and I learned a lot by coming in there and realizing how much pressure was put on the sheriff and the sheriff's office by a tradition only, not so much by the law, but just simply by the way that they said, this is how we do it. And I noticed that the primary law enforcement role was taken on by the state police. And not to degrade the state police, but I can see a system there. When I'm so used to in Maryland, municipal police, county sheriffs, and the state police all working together in that state, it works so well and functions so well. And I noticed in Delaware that there was something lacking there, and that was an interposer, if you will. And I came to know the role of the sheriff after learning much about the powers of the sheriff through after I became the chief deputy. I learned and read up on the issue of the sheriff and what the role of the sheriff was, not just as a law enforcement officer or a minister of the courts or service of the courts. I also learned that the sheriff's constitutional role was to act as an interposer between an overreaching government and the people themselves. And what I see in Delaware is a lot of that going on and had been going on, and I wondered, you know, what in the world caused it to be such a way. And I can only point my finger to the tradition that had gone down the wrong road, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of the late 70s. In so much as what we can determine, a lot of the role of the sheriff was diminished into a money-making process for the county by way of mortgage foreclosures. And it was a very lucrative thing, and to this day is a very lucrative process to bring revenue into the county. But I started to realize, too, that bringing revenue into the county at the expense of people losing their homes over processes that were not proper or didn't seem proper, I decided, not just for that reason, but for many other reasons, to get involved. So I ran for sheriff. Interestingly enough, I couldn't get anyone to endorse me because they didn't want to upset the apple cart as it stood today, by way of tradition, the sheriff taking the second role and not really doing anything in the way of law enforcement. There had been sheriffs in the past. We've shown and repeatedly shown arrests and different things that took place in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And then the latter part of the 70s, early part of the 80s, a lot of the sheriffs basically said to themselves, they had been elected as a favor, if you will, to a lot of politicians. They would endorse them to get them in and didn't expect too much from them. So we didn't get too much in the way of previous law enforcement experience. They just wanted someone to fill that role so that they could continue to bring the revenue into the county.
Wow.
Well,
One thing I liked when we talked on the phone last week, and by the way, folks, both of these gentlemen, when I initially talked with them, they each gave me well over an hour of their time, and they definitely loved the Constitution. But Sheriff Christopher, one thing I really liked, your summary last week when we talked, was that you wanted to find out what your real role was, what your real purpose was, and that is what you sought. And then you came across Carson Tucker, and I guess here we are today. But like that you're pursuing your constitutional duty.
Well, thank you. And it's one thing I learned by way of basically studying this whole thing about sheriffs. I learned of several people doing the same thing across the country and across the nation. I learned of Sheriff Mack and the godsend of Carson Tucker and his knowledge and the things that he brought to me as far as the light on this situation. We noted that in Delaware, the sheriff is specifically enumerated in Article 15 of the Delaware Constitution, and it says the sheriff shall be the conservator of the peace, along with the chancellors, the judges, and the attorney general, all of which you'll notice has been thrown into, or under that article, thrown into a gathering, if you will, of persons or elected bodies for the judicial system and how it was supposed to work. Now, keep in mind that state police were not even brought to light into fruition until the 1930s, the middle 30s. And the sheriff's office has existed in Sussex County, Delaware, since 1669 and played a very important role in the trade routes and what have you that were established by the early founders of the country. And that enumeration basically led me to understand and study the Constitution and of course, the brought me to the 10th Amendment and a lot of other states. And my detractors kept telling me that conservator of the peace is not defined in Delaware law, which I'll show you in a second that it is, and that in particular that the term conservator of the peace did not mean police officer. In fact, they pointed to a section in the Delaware law under Title 11 that said, for purposes of this chapter, the attendance of the Delaware State Police did not include, or basically they excluded the sheriff for whatever reasons they had, and denoted that he was not a police officer or entitled as a police officer at the time. And I didn't really argue that fact. But as far as conservator of the peace or peace officer, I argued that because of case law and common law and how it's defined in common law, and of course, ultimately the Article 15 stating that he's the conservator of the peace. And later I found in that Title 11 when it defined the Delaware State Police, now this was up until 2006, and I'll explain to you what happened then. We had several politicians pulling strings and going by any dark avenue that they could to undermine the office of sheriff, and this year especially with the advent of House Bill 325, which was the legislators offering to, in their mind, to once and for all put this sheriff's issue to rest. But
I want to talk about some specifics about that event, if you will. I know it was introduced in the spring, and it got passed by the Senate eventually. But one thing I wanted to point out is some fundamental changes, if you will, fundamental changes from 1790s till now. And, you know, for example, my research of the grand jury, the charge by Chief Justice John Jay was, hey, grand jury, it's your job to investigate the crimes. Well, the Justice Department wasn't involved in 1793 when he gave that John Jay gave that charge. In 1793. Why was the Justice Department not involved? Because it didn't exist until 1870. There has been these slow incremental changes, and the people running for office, they don't understand the Constitution, the history, the intent, the origin, the oppression that brought forth the necessity for a Constitution and a system of accountability, checks and balances, yada, yada. So these people get into office, they get into state legislator positions, county supervisor, all the way to Congress, whatever, and obviously something happened in the Delaware legislature. Well, they thought that, well, let's just go ahead and take the arrest powers out of the hands of the county sheriff. So go ahead and tell a little bit how that legislation was passed.
Well, it all pretty much started when I started to express my authority through arrests and outstanding warrants. We have an incredible list of outstanding warrants here in the county, and I decided to pursue that avenue. And it rubbed some of the politicians the wrong way. They decided they were going to do something, and it originated in the county council. I uncovered some emails that basically were sent to me by concerned parties stating that the county council, once I won my election, they couldn't believe that I'd won my election. They knew I was coming, and they basically cited me as the C-man, the constitutional man, and I dare say that they feared my intent to bring the Constitution to light, and as it was intended, that is. And so I believe they thought it was a threat to the state police, the establishment of the state police. In fact, I repeatedly told them that I wasn't looking to be the county police per se. I want to just reestablish and reinstate the role of the sheriff, make it clear, and bring the role of the sheriff back to play in Sussex County, Delaware. The fact that we haven't been doing that for umpteen years was irrelevant. It may have been because of an ignorant sheriff that was here before that didn't do it the right way. Maybe he followed tradition. Maybe he was just part of the Good Old Boys Network. To me, it didn't matter. My thought was, I'm going to bring it back. That's what I ran on. I ran on that platform, and I got elected. And so it rubbed these guys enough the wrong way that I believe they felt threatened, because I'm one of those people that will look into improprieties in government, and especially when it comes to tyranny. And I will interpose myself between people of the county that are feeling the tyranny from the government. And I know it's going on. It's going on in every county in this country, especially from the federal government to the states. It seems like people, even in Delaware, are losing the ideology of the Constitution, that the people themselves are supposed to be the CEOs of the government, and not the other way around, or the tail wagging the dog, if you will. And people often come to me and started asking questions back when I started to run, you know, what could you do? And that's when I researched even further what a sheriff can do, and I found out, among other things, the lawsuit that Sheriff Mack had filed against the federal government regarding the Second Amendment challenge that was brought forth by the Brady Bill out of
Washington,
D.C.
You mean the Prince versus U.S.?
Correct.
Yeah.
I learned what Scalia had said in that ruling, and it just empowered me more to show that the sheriff is supposed to be the chief officer of the county. That was the precedent set by the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, and that's what I believe, and what many other states believe, sheriffs as well, believe that that's the way it should be done today, because that was the intent of the Founding Fathers, to set the sheriff's office up as a balance of powers. And in fact, there's been several cases in the past, in the recent past, that underpin that idea and basically bring that to light. So I continue to challenge them. They became more and more upset. They decided, in fact, one of the representatives, whose father was a state trooper, a retired trooper, and he said to me in the paper, made no bones about it, that he was going to shut this sheriff down, and he didn't care what I thought. And later on introduced legislation that was drafted by the county attorney, and from pressure mounting upon him and one of the sponsors, who later, that second sponsor, when the proposal was turned over to the Democrats in Delaware, that second sponsor made the comment in the paper that he's not sure this is a constitutional measure, even though he jumped on top of it. Kind of like a let's pass the bill to see what's really in it attitude. But
so I'm trying to grab a bigger picture here. So the citizens of Sussex County, Delaware, are concerned of the growing federal government. Somehow they need the power of the sheriff. You hold on their heartstrings, if you will, in the sense that they got in tune with you, the power of the sheriff. protect us from a potentially bad federal government. You won an election, all right? You won, and then the board of supervisors starts to play some of these games. There's retaliatory games at the state legislature level. You've got, you mentioned on the phone last week, they tried to cut your salary down to something really, what was it, $20,000?
Well, actually, they had said it that way with previous sheriffs because they didn't want a sheriff to be a full-time compensated individual who would give his full time into trying to reestablish the office of sheriff itself. And, of course, noting this, the fact that we bring in $5 million a year in revenue makes no difference to them. They go ahead and align it with the fact that all that really money really belongs to them. In fact, they make no bones about it. The cars that I drive, the uniforms that I'm wearing, they remind me every day that it belongs to them and that I am a department of the county, not an office of the people. Even though I'm elected, even though when I got sworn in, the document says right on my wall that I will answer directly to the sovereign, which was the people who elected me, they treat me like just as they do every other department of the county, an entity that is under their oppression. And the only thing that it really supports that is the fact that the state law, the Delaware state law, says that they will approve my budget each year. And it doesn't say that they have control over the budget. It just says that they have will approve my budget. So they've taken this, I think, way too many steps further than they're supposed to and what was intended. And they certainly don't give the sheriff any recognition as an elected official. Anyhow, they throw me into what's categorized as a row office. And that historically came from the fact that the offices of the county were in a row in the courthouse, literally next to each other and side by side. And they treated the sheriff much in the same way. And so over the years, over the past 20, 25 years, 30 years, it's been diminished to the point where if they know that if they keep the salaries low, you know, $20,000 is what it showed on my last year's $20,900 it showed on my last year's W-2. And most people around the country cannot believe that it's that low. And why would I, you know, put myself on the line to safety and risk my reputation and everything just for that type of money or that level of money? And I said it's really nothing to do with that. It's so much as I feel that God has brought me to this level in life and has put me to this task and brought people like Carson Tucker into my life and Sheriff Mack into my life. And, of course, you good folks that are getting the word out there that there's a role that we all must take if you are to claim freedom, if you're to claim your American standard, then we all know that there's a tyrannical oppression going on, and we've got to stop it. And it starts at every county level. Every office of the sheriff, I believe, can turn this thing around. But that's what I was thinking. And as I started to put more pressure and more press release out there that I intended to do this, I got more resistance and more opposition. And we got to the point where they concocted this idea of House Bill 325 that says, well, we're going to fix this. We're going to take away the powers of arrest from the sheriff. Obviously, they feared me arresting people. And I believe it's a larger picture than that. But they're afraid of the powers of the office of sheriff because it comes from the people. And a watchdog, if you will, for the people.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, years ago, that's what I heard is it was a simple explanation. Somebody said the sheriff is the supreme law enforcement officer of the county. He can arrest folks, of course, obviously street criminals, but he can arrest federal agents and state agents. I'm like, what? So why is this so? They said, real simply, because the sheriff is directly elected by the people, and he can be booted out of office during the next election. In your situation, the people want you, the supervisors from the same people, they don't want you, so you took it to the next level of filing a lawsuit. And I wanted to, I know you can't talk too many details about your lawsuit, but I kind of want to get Carson's, some of his view of where they're going. We only have Carson until another half hour, so I wanted to get Carson's input on the lawsuit and how you're fighting back.
Yeah, I can speak in general terms about the underlying theory, certainly, because one of the other interesting things about all of this, and Sheriff Christopher talked a little bit about, you know, the fortuitous or maybe divine intervention of me meeting him and coming together and talking about this. I actually, being in Michigan, you know, when I was doing the research for the lawsuits that we filed in Wayne County, which is the biggest county, it's where Detroit is, Allure versus the Board of Wayne County Auditors is an 1888 Supreme Court case out of Michigan, written by Justice Thomas Cooley, who is one of our premier justices on the Michigan Supreme Court in history, and who also is the author of the two-volume treatise, Constitutional Limitations, which is the premier manifesto, if you will, on the right of the states to govern themselves, and primarily the right of local governments to govern themselves. Constitutional Limitations is the name of the treatise, and it's still in circulation. Justice Cooley was probably parallel to Justice Joseph Story in terms of his knowledge and understanding and his writings on the Constitution from a state perspective, as was Justice Story from the U.S. constitutional perspective. But the Allor case stood for the proposition that, which I spoke of earlier, that the common law powers retained by the sheriff when his office was named as a constitutional office, and it is a constitutional office in Michigan, as well as many other states, the majority of states across the country. what that means is, as I said earlier, it gives him the constitutional imperative. So the theory is that if the common law powers of the sheriff were, and they certainly were, that the sheriff had the power to arrest, conserve the peace, to call out the citizens of his county on his behalf to enforce the law, if that was a right and a duty, actually, that the sheriff had when the sheriff was named as a constitutional officer, then that right is retained until it's abrogated by constitutional amendment only. So the only way you can remove that power is through the people amending the Constitution. And the more important thing of that, the three main things of that is, number one, judges certainly cannot do it, at least the lower court judges. And I would submit that the Supreme Court judges couldn't do it because, like I said, it has to be a constitutional amendment to remove that power. Legislatures certainly cannot do it. And the other side, the flip side, the end result of attempting to do something like that is it affects a disenfranchisement of the people. The citizens vote who they choose to enforce the law in their county on their behalf by popular election. And the moment that you allow a different authority to come in and try to infringe upon the sheriff's powers of arrest or any other common law power that he has, whether it be directly by the legislative action that the Delaware General Assembly has attempted to take, or indirectly by budget cuts. Sheriff Christopher, you know, mentioned that, you know, they reduced the salary of the sheriff to a minuscule amount, so to basically prevent him from being able to assert his authority and power. Those are unconstitutional measures that are taken by individuals who have basically running roughshod over the constitutional rights of the citizens. And so this theory of law, this common law rule that came out of the Allor case, it was also enunciated by a case out of Wisconsin about the same time by a contemporary Supreme Court, is the rule of law in our United States of America, and it's a rule of law that has been cited in many other states for the propositions that I have, you know, that I espouse, and that are the controlling rules of law. And in fact, there's a Delaware Supreme Court case that cites this very principle, and it actually cites the Allor case out of Michigan. But that case in particular didn't rule upon the particular rule. So in other words, it was a Supreme Court case out of Delaware, but it never extended the rule. It basically reserved it for another time, and that was the applicable rule in Delaware. And I would submit that, you know, with all modesty, that this case here that Sheriff Christopher is fighting is the case that, you know, has the potential to allow a brave and courageous Supreme Court to do the right thing and to basically espouse that rule once and for all, as it should be. I mean, it is the rule of law.
So are you talking about the potential to go all the way to the United States Supreme Court, to the top nine?
When I say that,
of course, who knows what the state's going to do, the state of Delaware. But when we look at the formation of the Constitution, a person has to go into history and understand why, and they cited the British common law, and which is a lot of practice, if you will, by the British system, and the colonials adopted quite a bit of it, and it flowed into our system of laws, and of course we changed things with more specificity. Anyway, you are in luck if it ends up in the Supreme Court, because the Chief Justice Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, he's a history buff. And some of these other people may not understand history so well and how it actually does influence court decisions, but you have kind of a leg up there with Kennedy. Scalia is into history too. He cited some stuff way back, like the Magna Carta, but other courts, other justices have done the same thing. But I do want to ask a fundamental question about the Delaware Constitution. If the Delaware Constitution names the sheriff's office, and of course you'd have to go back to the intent when they wrote the Delaware Constitution, because the intent was what it was in practice, what was going on, and what they meant based on history. So I don't know if you want to comment about if it is in the Constitution or not of Delaware.
Yeah, I mean, Sheriff Christopher mentioned, and it is, and, you know, what I was going to say earlier is that Sheriff Christopher hit up on a very, very important point, because Michigan's Constitution only says that the sheriff shall be the elected law enforcement officer of the counties, or something to that effect. The Delaware Constitution actually contains explicit language in the article itself that says that the sheriff shall serve as the conservator of the peace. And so in terms of what that, I mean, you cannot be any more clear and direct in interpreting it from a plain language perspective, as, you know, as you mentioned, the conservative Supreme Court justices on the United States Supreme Court would do, than to conclude anything but that the sheriff has arrest powers in his county on behalf of the people. To get the case, however, into the U.S. Supreme Court, it would have to come from a sort of a different perspective, and I think that would be where the disenfranchisement of the people of the counties would have to be, they would have to assert standing from a different perspective to get a case like that before the U.S. Supreme Court. When I mentioned the Supreme Court, it's got to be the Supreme Court of the state, at least at this initial stage. I mean, we do have the United States Constitution amendment, one of the Bill of Rights articles mentions that the Republican form of government is guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States. So to the extent that would affect the disenfranchisement of the people's right to vote who shall enforce the law in the county on their behalf, then that's one possible challenge. But I think the more important point here is, in terms of the Delaware Constitution, you've got a case that has constitutional language that could not be clearer. And a lot of the state constitutional provisions that name the sheriff as a constitutional officer, even though we all understand what that means in terms of the rule of law, which I mentioned earlier, Delaware's Constitution actually has the very provision that Sheriff Christopher is asserting is his right, which is to conserve the peace. And there is, again, like he said, no question that that means the power of arrest. I mean, it's almost, for common sense folks like us who look at that and say conservator of the peace, you know, it doesn't take much of an extrapolation to conclude that he has the authority and the responsibility, frankly, to enforce the law, which means to arrest those who would seek to break it. And so it's in a good posture in that regard. Now, you know, unfortunately, it depends upon the makeup of the particular Supreme Court of the particular state. Pennsylvania's Supreme Court has had a case pending for, I think, over a year now, since October of 2011, that is attempting to reinstate, if you will, the sheriff's arrest powers in the state of Pennsylvania. And that case decision hasn't come out yet, to my knowledge. But from what I understand in talking with the Sheriff's Association of Pennsylvania and the president of that organization, they've got a pretty good Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, and they think it's going to be done properly. Pennsylvania's got a good case that came out in 1997, Leak versus Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which really detailed the history, cited the rule of law that I've already talked about, and, you know, basically concluded that the sheriff does have arrest powers by virtue of his place in the Constitution of that state. And the United States Supreme Court in 1885 wrote a case, issued an opinion in South versus State of Maryland, in which they detail some of the history and the importance of the constitutional powers of the sheriff being that of the powers of arrest, and those that were the powers of common law prior to his naming in the respective state's constitutions. I mean, you've got, I can tell, and I know Chair Christopher knows this, we've got the law on our side. And we're dealing with, for lack of a better term, ignorance all the way up and down the chain. And in some, to some extent, there is, a collective or maybe discombobulated conspiracy to remove what is essentially the powers of the people to choose who is going to enforce the law in the county on their behalf. And so that's what we're fighting. Unfortunately, it shouldn't be an uphill battle, but it is. It's not an uphill battle in my mind because we have the law on our side, but it's an uphill battle because our society has bred ignorance of the law.
Wow. So I'm just kind of summarizing real quickly. So you have, of course, you studied the history. Both of you have studied the history. You have a sheriff that is fighting. He has his own legal team in Delaware. He's got U.S. special counsel. You have got the Delaware Constitution going back, the history of Delaware going back. You have got other case law that's supporting this position. So it looks like you're in a really good position to keep moving on. I mean, it doesn't matter what the legislature says. If the Supreme Court of Delaware reaches a conclusion that, sorry, legislature, the only way you're going to remove the sheriff's arrest power is if you have a constitutional amendment. That is probably your end goal.
Correct. That would be the only way in my mind, and I know in Sheriff Christopher's mind, that it could be done. And really, that's the right way. I mean, if the people of the state of Delaware or the people of the state of Michigan or the people of the state of Pennsylvania really think that what they want to do is divest the sheriff, their chief law enforcement officer, of the powers of arrest, the powers to protect them. The number one prerogative of government is to protect the people. That was stated by Justice Campbell in the case of White versus Saginaw Township. If that's what they want to do, okay, our Republican form of government allows them that right. It's not advised, and it's like Benjamin Franklin said, it's a republic if you can keep it. The ignorance of the people will be, you know, their own the sounding of their own death knell. But quite frankly, if that's what they want to do, then that they can do that. But what we're saying is, you can't do it by any other means, because that would be an unconstitutional usurpation of the people's right.
Real quick, Kelly, at this time, I at least want to open up the mic to Commissioner Bill Sage, because I've had him here on hold, so I'd like to open up his mic so he can chime in as well. So, here we go. Bill, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Roger. Thank you very much. And
great,
Kelly,
great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for holding.
You're welcome. I'd like to thank Sheriff Christopher as well. Sheriff, I wish we had 83 of you here in Michigan. I really do. I'm a commissioner until everybody in. I'm founder of Tea Party, became elected official, commissioner. Led the fight. I'm leading the fight in the NDAA nullification that gives indefinite detention provisions in a federal law, National Defense Authorization Act. And I'm a pretty busy beaver. Anyway. And currently we're doing the NDA nullification in the state of Michigan. And in the nullification, we have a provision for asking the Sheriff's Department not to assist in any arrest or investigation of any county citizen under Section 102.1 and 102.2 of the NDAA. okay, just to fill you in. I don't have a lot of experience as far as sheriff departments go, but I know it's one of the most important departments in the constitutional offices in the country, you know, and I appreciate it. With posse comitatus, the sheriff can form a posse and form a militia if need be to defend against defend its citizens against the federal government on an overpowering issue.
Well, you got some good points there. And Sheriff Christopher, why don't you tell us the good news about Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona, how many people he has on his deputized posse? You're friends with him. Obviously, you're friends also with Sheriff Lopi in my county, whom I talked with today. And by the way, hopefully he'll be joining us here a little after 8 o'clock. And, but, yeah, sheriffs are getting it. They're getting it, Sheriff Mack.
Real quick, Kelly, and that would be 11 o'clock Eastern time for all the folks here on the East Coast or Midwest. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, sorry. So anyway, you shared some really good news with me about Sheriff Arpaio and his deputized citizenry of Maricopa County. Go ahead and share some good news there.
Well, that is right. I am a friend of Joe Arpaio and Sheriff Joe, and he's a national figure in so much as some of the things that he has stood for. And one of the things that he makes no bones about is his posse. And what that is, in essence, is citizenry that is trained and armed and volunteer under the sheriff, under the direction and control of the sheriff, at no cost to the taxpayers. These people, often armed as well as persons with assistance in the categories of knowledge and research and history and just about everything that you can think of, even in the medical fields. Sheriff Arpaio enjoys retired investigators. No doubt most of the listeners remember the investigation of the birth certificate of the President of the United States. In fact, Joe told me himself that he ordered his posse members to go out and prove the president correct and right with his claim that everything is legitimate. In fact, he said to me that it just couldn't be found. The evidence was not there, in fact, that the president was correct. And some of these things that a sheriff can do, besides a grand jury, pulling a jury together, investigating governmental tyranny and all the different things that come from the word tyranny, if you will, of our government towards its people. Many people right now are talking about the Second Amendment challenges. Sheriff Joe was on TV the other night with Piers Morgan, I think his name is, and he was questioned about arming his deputies, and he made mention of a deputy that was shot and killed years ago, and he intends to arm his deputies, including his posse members, and especially his sworn deputies, with automatic and semi-automatic weapons to protect themselves and to protect the people of the county. If a law enforcement officer doesn't have that ability, then what's the sense of even having a law enforcement agency to do that? And, of course, if you add the tradition into it, Sheriff Joe goes back and relies heavily upon the Constitution and his constitutional authority to do that, to carry a posse comitatus status. And when I mentioned that in Delaware, my detractors, I thought they were going to perform a self-scalping measure that, you know, oh my gosh, you know, this rogue sheriff in Delaware, how dare he think that he has the power to bring and swear in posse members to protect our society from everything from drugs to the breaches of the peace, right on up to our government, our own government, reaching in, or I should say overreaching in, and taking away our Second Amendment rights. And once you give up that, you might as well open the door, because there's going to be a flood of challenges with every other constitutional right that every citizen has.
If I might... Are you familiar with Mike Raines from Eaton County, Michigan? Sheriff Raines started a group called Guardians of the Constitution. And what he does, he signs up patriots with concealed weapon permits onto the Posse Comitatus, and of which, if there's ever martial law ever gets declared by our president, it would automatically kick in the gentlemen that have the concealed weapon permits and to be deputy sheriffs, so they could not have their gun rights taken away. I know. Are you familiar with that, Sheriff Christopher?
I am, and I've had that request given to me by many here in my own county, and I only wish that Kent County and Newcastle County, the only other two counties that we have in the state itself, that they too would realize and understand what this is really all about, is their duty as a law enforcement officers in their county, as an elected sheriff, to do just what you described. And that the importance of that is you have to understand the philosophy of our founding fathers to know that this is not only possible, but it's likely with regard to what we've been seeing and hearing across this country today. I mean, it's one thing that, you know, it could be something that, you know, and then you have the detractors, Ms. Feinstein and the rest of them, saying that there is no worry. In fact, Sarah Brady lives right here in my county, in Sussex County, Delaware, and that's the wife of Jim Brady. And that's the reflection of the Jim Brady bill that Sheriff Mack turned away in his own county, Graham County, Arizona. But yes, I've heard of it, and I think it's a great idea. I think it's one of the things that the people should now get themselves educated about, because it's all about the people to begin with, and that's what it really stands for.
Right. Well, Sheriff Christopher, I want to ask you a question, and it sounds like Commissioner Gazer, you got some good people there, but I want to hear the good news. I know you told me over the phone, because you got more of a direct line to Sheriff Arpaio. How many people does he have? Do you have a number for the number of people in the citizen deputies?
Are you talking to me?
Sheriff Christopher. Yeah, how many people does Sheriff Arpaio have?
I know. I don't know if he's ready and willing to give an exact number. But there's, I can tell you this, I know that there is, he has some 15,000 at his command.
I'm going to repeat that. 15,000 people who are following the sheriff, they have concealed weapons permits or they've gone through some background check. So 15,000 citizens are helping the sheriff.
And that figure may include his regular sworn deputies as well as his posse comitatus status people, but I can tell you that he certainly knows what he's doing. He has implemented a program that trains these people. In fact, it was questioned the other day on that show that I mentioned earlier. The insinuation was given by the reporter that, you know, you're just pulling people off the street, and Sheriff Arpaio made it very clear that he wasn't. He said clearly that these people are hand-selected. He knows who they are. He knows what their background is. A lot of the members, no doubt, are retired police officers, retired agents, retired government officials that have worked throughout their career to know what it is to enforce the law to some measure or another. And Sheriff Arpaio takes great pride and should. And I applaud him for taking the action and taking the upon himself, that recognizing that his county, with all the people that are in his county, that's a huge place. I don't know if you've ever been there or read up on it, but I didn't realize so much that the county was as vast as it was, and it had as many people as it does in the Phoenix area. So he is preparing himself for what may come down in the way of a challenge for the federal government, but he certainly knows how to be a sheriff in his county, for sure.
That's such an awesome example. I want to ask our commissioner here a question here first, but I did want to point out Sheriff Arpaio has appointed some of his deputy, the posse, okay, I'll just call it what it is. We're out west here, we can do that. He has been asked and appointed at least for 30 schools in his county for some of his posse members to stand there at the school with guns. And, you know, some might think, oh, that's kind of crazy. But you know what? I'll bet you the kids love it. They go home. I bet some of them have heard the stories. And the parents are in great appreciation. And these people are unpaid, by the way. They're volunteers. So I wanted to ask Commissioner Gage here from Michigan, I wanted to ask him what his thoughts would be if you, all the other commissioners were like yourself, the Board of Commissioners would be interested in funding at least some of the expenses of this these deputized guards, if you will, at the schools. What would you like to see happen as far as funding? And particularly the funding of someone just like Sheriff Christopher, who has had his funding cut. I mean, what are some of your thoughts here?
Well, I'm not much on extra governmental funding. I'm actually, I'm a patriot, okay? I'm all for posse comitatus. I'm all for having guardians of the Constitution where upon martial law, you have a bunch of guys in your county that become sheriff's deputies automatically that have a concealed weapons permit with the right to keep them. And I'm all for that. And I would be for putting a guard sheriff in a public school at this point. It's a shame we shouldn't need it. It's a shame that the real reason behind the shooting at the school in Shanty Hook, I guess it was the name of it, was actually because
yes.
of progressive teachings through our school system. They wanted God out of our school. They want God out of our country. And they want to circumvent the Constitution. They put unrighteous acts on TV continuously. They take God out of the media as well. And then they wonder why shootings happen, mass shootings happen. So as an end result, if you're not going to arm the teachers, yeah, you better put an armed sheriff in there. I'd be all for it. It would have my vote.
Wow.
And I would see it as a decent – excuse me?
No, I was just going to chime in. And speaking of that, I do have a question from the audience, which I'll pose to everyone, whoever would like to chime in to answer it, of course, one at a time, is they ask, how many sheriffs are working together with Sheriff Mack to save this country?
Well, I know the first convention that we had in 2011 yielded some 175 results and with, I think, 125 attendees, plus representatives. So we were up at around 150. The second was well attended as well, about the same. However, there was many different sheriffs that attended the second convention. And we are going to be planning something in Delaware in the near future to educate people in the Constitution and the role of the sheriff. And we are going to throw out there more training, offer more education about the role of the sheriff and what his responsibility, not just his responsibility, but his duty, his sworn duty, his oath of office is what it really comes down to. He swore or she swore when they put their hands on the Bible and they raised their hands before God Almighty and the people that elected him in and the people of this good country, that he said he swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States and that of the state in which he serves. And that right there is his oath of office, defend and uphold. And you can't get much clearer than that. And it's time for people to stop running around the bush trying to change the attitude and ideas and definitions of what we stand for as a people and go right to the action of committing ourselves, especially as sworn members of law enforcement today and in particular sheriffs, as well as peace officers, but in particular sheriffs, because of their status as often as a chief law enforcement officer in that county, they have to make large decisions that are going to affect the safety and the lives of many people. And so they better start taking it serious. And let me underpin that with the idea that a sheriff is only as good as the people who support him. Because if you get people that are brainwashed to think that the role of the sheriff is diminished and is of no significance today, much as it's been done in Delaware, you're going to get the same kind of response out of that general public that believes the sheriff is no longer useful and will be diminished. And when that happens, you're going to go right into something like the police state and rights that we're talking about losing today with regard to the Second Amendment is only the beginning. It's going to continue to happen. I'm no doomsayer. I can tell you right now, I go by the faith of God every day. But I can tell you this. I know that men are power hungry all over the world. We've got dictators across this world to prove that. And I don't believe that this country is any different. I believe the values that we've set forth by our founding fathers are being diminished. They're being laughed at. They're being ridiculed. And before you know it, they will be gone if the people of this country, and when I say that, I say every person in every county, because that's where it begins, if they don't sit up, pay attention, put their money where their mouth is, and realize that what they have at stake is their freedoms, their liberty, family, their children, everything that matters to them. Why do they go to work every day? For those very same reasons, because they want to have the peace and enjoyment of life in this country that our forefathers and founding fathers and ancestors have enjoyed. If we don't do everything we can to preserve it, we are going to hand our children slavery once again.
Wow. Well,
two things, gentlemen. Hold on, real quick, Kelly. Two things. There was some background noise somewhere, so if we can keep that at bay if possible. And two, is there a website for that? I know someone's asking. There's a website where folks can go to in order to check out these things out.
Google. You can Google Sheriff Christopher or Delaware. You can Google the word Delaware legislators and put sheriff in there or comma sheriff. And what I would also suggest is each one of your listeners, I challenge each one, and I challenge you guys, go to the CSPOA, which is the acronym for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and join as serving member. And we're working on building particular organization up, and the first and number one goal is to educate the sheriffs around the country and peace officers around the country of what their oath really means, to remind them of their duty to adhere to it and to serve the people as intended. And I would suggest that everyone go and support us there. These measures cost money. If I were to ask anyone out here, what is the cost of freedom? And if it mattered to be $100, $50, $200 a year to you, would it be worth it? And I say apply yourself to that. Let us work serving you and everyone that lives in counties in this country to see if we can get the sheriff to wake up and realize in those counties whom we've been challenged. And I think most of the sheriffs may be on the fence on it, and there are some that are outright resistant against it. And we're going to target those hard and try to bring them to come around to the understanding of what their real oath of office and service means to the people.
And there's still some background noise. If someone could, while they're not talking, put their mics on mute. I apologize to ask that, but we do have some background noise coming from somewhere, and so we'd like to keep that at a minimum. So I'd appreciate that.
Hey guys, this is Carson Tucker. I've got to go. You guys, I really appreciate you having me on, and I really am very happy to be a part of this discussion.
Carson, before you leave, could I ask you a question?
Yes.
This is Bill Sage.
Yes.
Out of the 83 counties in the state of Michigan, what percentage and how many sheriff, county sheriffs would you say are actually constitutional sheriffs, such as Sheriff Christopher? And how many are involved with Guardians of the Constitution?
Unfortunately, Bill, I would say that would be only a handful. Most of the sheriffs in Michigan are aligned with the, quite frankly, the federal government funding that they've become weaned. We haven't weaned them off of that, and they're part and parcel of the same group, an organization. And unfortunately, since 2009, I've done a lot in terms of trying to educate the sheriff. I have several county sheriffs who are my clients. I counsel and advise many more. So, you know, but it is only 6, 7, or 8 that I can think of that would be aligning themselves with the constitutional sheriffs at this point. However, that number has grown, you know, over the past few years quite quickly. So, and I think that that's one of the things I'm trying to work on. You and I had a discussion earlier, and, you know, some of these things, it's part of educating them and explaining the proper orientation to the right people.
Yeah, well, several county sheriffs do, in fact, go to federal programs several times a year, actually, at the expense of the county.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, the good news is, by what we're doing tonight, by we're communicating this great power, the citizenry is rising up in the sense of education. When they realize, oh, my gosh, the sheriff is a supreme law enforcement officer, they're going to begin voting. Voting for, I mean, obviously, Sheriff Christopher, you did this, okay? You appealed to the people in Delaware of your county, you won. Even though the county supervisors are opposing you, you won. As we educate the constituency, the sheriffs will be more empowered by the vote of the people. And this is one of the reasons why I'm beyond excited, because I've studied this, and it's the way it ought to be. And we just got to get back to our history. We got to, hopefully Carson's going to help, and your attorney's there in Delaware, you're going to win. And one more thing, is there a way to help fund what you're doing as far as the lawsuit? I mean, attorneys always want fees, of course. I'm an engineer, I want fees because I can't work for nothing. But is there a website that we can hook up to possibly assist with your lawsuit financially?
Yes, there is something set up under the Legacy Foundation. And it would be the Legacy Foundation /, Sussex, S-U-S-S-E-X. And or you can go on to CSPOA.org and just type in my name, Sheriff Christopher, under the search category, and it'll bring up a letter that was written. And you could donate there, or you can send a check or money order directly to me. I would forward that you would just make it out to Niles, N-I-L-E-S, Barton, B-A-R-T-O-N, Wilmer, W-I-L-M-E-R. And I'm going to give you my email address if anyone wants to inquire that way. It is HorseForce1, all spelled out, and that's horse like the animal, H-O-R-S-E. And force, like Air Force, F-O-R-C-E, and one is spelled out, O-N-E. So it's forceforce@aol.com. I would welcome any inquiry or questions that people might have. And you can also go through the CSPOA website, which is very easy to remember, and inquire and have any questions that you do. You can also Facebook if you're on Facebook. You can Facebook me, Jeff Christopher, or Sheriff Christopher, and it'll come up. And I certainly welcome you to join the CSPOA Facebook page as well. I would ask that people not only like it or hit it on Facebook, but also join CSPOA to help us fight this cause. But if anyone out there believes in this cause and believes the freedom that they have is important, then I would ask you to join with us. I think it's very important that people understand that the sheriff most likely is the last chance or last hope that you have, because he's the only elected law enforcement officer that you have that serves directly to you. Now, that doesn't mean every sheriff will honor that, and that's what the reason CSPOA exists, is to go around the country itself to train these sheriffs, to teach these sheriffs, and open the hearts and minds of these guys that want to do the right thing, for the most part, I believe, but they are so taken by the many degrees of persuasion that the federal government has given and resistance in some of their states where they've been, brought onto the carriage with the reliance of federal monies. And no matter what it is, it's going to cost the citizenry in the long run out of one of their pockets. There's so many pockets now that are provided in the way of taxes and in the way of expenditures that we all have to pay for. But I dare say that if we continue to pay the federal government to literally destroy us in the future and our children, we ought to be able to devise a way to come up to stop that for as long and strong as we can, because if we don't do it now, I believe our future is going to be short with the way of freedoms and measures that we enjoy.
Well, you're referring to strengthening the 10th Amendment at this point, Sheriff Christopher.
Yes.
Yeah.
States' rights is what really matters here when it comes to the people saying, remember, folks, that you are the CEOs of the government. The government does not exist unless you exist. And, of course, a lot of this philosophy that they have is something that they've, you know, they scare you with these tactics, but it may mean tyranny to the point of death. We have soldiers that go out there and die every day and give their lives every day, sacrifice everything that they have in the way of what they love, their families and friends and their home life. And the honor that goes with that is just unbelievable. And what we have here is the same kind of thing when our founding fathers say things like, we need fear, we need to fear the tyranny, not only of foreign governments, but also domestic. And domestic, for those of you who are not sure what that means our own government inside of our borders. We need to watch out for that. And many founding fathers aligned with that same philosophy. They realized that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And that's also in the Bible. If you know your Bible, you know that men are subject to corruption because of greed or whatever power they're searching for. And we need to really keep a tight grip on those things and keep dictatorship out of our government. And the only way to do it is to come together. And really, it's not about Jeff Christopher. It's about the office of sheriff, which belongs to you. It belongs to the people. And I'll come and go just like the next guy. But the hope is that while we have constitutionally minded people in those offices, and I know it's a constant total exchange of people around the country, but we feel if we can get a majority of the sheriffs understood and sworn back to the oath that they originally took, we can win this fight. All we have to do is tell our government we do not accept the tyrannical position that you take to take away our rights and our liberties, and I believe we can get a hold of that steering wheel and start driving this vehicle back up on the road.
Well, I totally agree. Carson, before you leave, do you have any other just final comments?
I think he may have.
No, Carson already had to take off, but I do want to put out there to the audience, whether you're listening live or be listening to this later on the archives, you will be able to find, as of now, the website cspoa.org. You can find a link to that directly on the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. So if you are listening to the archive, you'd like to check out the link, just go to the Get Involved page of the website, and you will see the link of it. And it will be, the button is called The Last Line of Defense, the Sheriff. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And, appreciate the link to it.
Well, I just want a quick summarize what we've heard in the last hour, and hopefully Sheriff Lopey from Mike County, Siskiyou County, will be joining us. But what we've got here is we've got a sheriff willing to stand up for the Constitution and the historical precedent set hundreds of years before the Constitution to protect the citizenry of his county, to, if need be, arrest state and federal agents if they want to come grab our guns. We've got an attorney that is obviously with all his heart into this as well, who's researched this, who has found in the Delaware Constitution the explicit power of the sheriff to do these types of activities. We've got people who want to radically transform our government, make it more federal control, which we don't need. We have got a group of people here. We got team members. I sure hope that the constituency across this country keeps learning this power, votes in constitutional sheriffs, and the federal government just has to be, just has to back down. They're going to be flanked. Like, what do we do here? So I, you know, a couple quick stories. Klamath County, I mentioned it already, Oregon, that's near us, arrested a federal agent. Rob Hurd, he was sheriff of Tehama County, two counties south of us out here. Rob Hurd, he was running for sheriff in this county, long story. Anyway, he threatened to arrest some federal agents once. I mean, this is a practical, for real example. In my book, by the way, I got a couple examples of this. But in Tehama County, he got a call from a rancher, quite rural there in Tehama County, a lot of ranches. The rancher says, these guys showed up, they're federal fishing game, something. They're putting up a fence claiming it's a riparian area, and my cattle can't get the water. They're working on this fence. Rob Hurd says, I'm going to come right out there. So Rob Hurd comes out and talks to federal agents. And he says, what are you guys doing? We're putting up a fence. It's a riparian area. See, federal order right here, shoves it in his face. He's like, well, I'm the county sheriff, and you have a half an hour to get out of my county, or I'm going to arrest your ass and throw you in the slammer. Oh, yeah, you're just the county sheriff. You call your boss. You have a half an hour. They went to their cell phone, they called, and they're like, big expression on their face, they left. The ranger's standing there, and there's a bunch of this fencing equipment. The ranger says, what am I supposed to do with all this fencing equipment? The sheriff says, it's yours. There was another federal involvement situation. This is years ago. Similar results. You have a half hour to leave my county, the federal agent did. There are several instances where the sheriff just says, look, I don't care what the law is. It's unconstitutional, okay? I ain't going to enforce it, okay? You got to go through me. I got the guns. I don't care. So this is our great power. This is our bulwark. I've been holding back a little bit from this. I mean, but I am so excited to have these guys here. And by the way, Sheriff Christopher, you have obviously on the line with us here, the commissioner here from Michigan. He's the kind of guy that you want to hook up with, of course, and the kind of commissioners you want. Although your county supervisors there in Delaware are opposing you because they don't understand. There are people in this land, and by the way, again, back to constituency, back to education, we will get to a position where the citizenry starts electing county supervisors, sheriffs, district attorneys, judges, yada, 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 who actually respect the Constitution. And this is done through education, what we're doing tonight. I mean, this is so fundamental to our... I mean, this, if we're in the 1800s, okay, this would be a no-brainer, all right? I don't mean to be so rude the way I just said that, but look, it's a no-brainer, okay? I'm preaching to the choir, but this is a no-brainer. The way we were and why we prospered, we just follow the Constitution. It's that simple.
It was a basic philosophy that we've come away from, and the reason we've come away from it, we've searched other avenues, thinking in our mind that we can rise above something we should never even try to rise above. There really is nothing out there to stand on if there's no simplicity in the way of rights. I mean, if you think about it, it's a very simplistic idea that was given to our founding fathers, that if they applied equality to every man in the country, we had challenges for that. We even had civil wars involving those things. But the basic values are, the Constitution really is about, as Mike Badnarek puts it, he's a constitutional expert, he puts it that the Constitution is about property. And the defense of property, if I give you permission to cross my backyard to get to the mall, for instance, I can revoke that permission. And you have to abide by that based on what the law stands for, and you will be basically under the scrutiny of the law if you violate that revoking that I had the right to take as just as well as I had the right to give it to you. So what gives the federal government, or any government for that matter, if the property belongs to you, to tell you what to do with it? And that includes your body. That includes your body. And the sheriff in each county, the only elected law enforcement officer in the land, That's why every county in the United States has an elected sheriff. And I say the majority of them do, because some of them have been changed. But to define that, if you stop and think, who would best represent me in a situation in my own county that I have against, say, some eminent domain claim by a federal government who wants to come in, or even the state government or county government, for that matter, who's going along with whoever started the act of reclamation of this property that belongs to a private citizen? What do you do, or even what you do on that property, oftentimes is also subject to the scrutiny of the sheriff that you call upon him to protect you. Sheriff Brad Rogers in Indiana stood up for an Amish man who sells raw milk and cheese, basically had been doing that historically, and in comes the FDA from the federal government saying they're going to shut you down. And this Amish gentleman had no other place to go but to Sheriff Brad Rogers, and Sheriff Rogers stood up to them, told them to get off the property and leave, or he would arrest them. Now, they left, and it's just like anything else, folks. They're going to come back. They're going to revisit you. They're going to come back because they figure, well, we can outlast them. We'll return again and again and again. Most people throw their hands up in the air and give up because they don't want to be embattled in court, wasting their retirement, wasting their money, when it really is not necessary. All you have to do is go to your elected sheriff and say, listen, you swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. The Constitution is about me and my property and my liberties. Therefore, you swore an oath to protect me and those things under that purview. So if you're not going to do your job, then lots of movement needs to be happening in county after county after county to get a sheriff in there, elected in that office by the people, for the people, and of the people that's going to do just that. And Brad Rogers, I applaud him. I know Sheriff Rogers personally. He's told me the story, and he's also, if you Google his name or you go to YouTube and listen to him, you will hear exactly what he did. And it's amazing how the federal government knows full well that they can't stand against a constitutional sheriff because it's the people, basically the power really of the office of sheriff is the people's power.
May I ask a question?
Real quick, gentlemen, I'm going to interject here. Is we do have, I believe, Sheriff Lopey on the line, so I want to take this time to open up his mic. So, Sheriff Lopey, welcome to the show, and thank you for calling in. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Kelly. Good to be with you.
Great. Go ahead, gentlemen, if we can give I'd like to give the floor to Kelly, and then we'll go to Sheriff Lopey, and then we'll continue on. Thank you, guys.
Well, yeah, Sheriff Lopey, I'm just really glad. You know, I met with you this afternoon, and we've talked before briefly, and I know your love of the Constitution, your concern where things are headed. We had a situation a couple of years ago, which, by the way, you handled very well, because the citizenry out here, they're not ready to pick up guns and start shooting people. I mean, it was ugly. There was a specific quote by one gentleman. He told the fish and game officer, this is what he told me. He said, look, you come on my property without a warrant, it will not be a warning shot. It will be a lethal shot. I'm willing to go to jail. You need to have a warrant to be on my property. And so, obviously, he riled up a lot of people, and you dealt with this really quickly by having a town hall meeting. But it happened in the summer of 2011 when the fishing game showed up without a warrant with guns. They looked at somebody's water usage. The enviros didn't like that end result, and so they called the federal agents, the NIMPs. NIMPs came out armed. We had fishing game show up armed at a town hall meeting in Fort Jones. We got problems, obviously, here, but you dealt with this very well. I don't know. I just want to get your comments about some of the overreach, if you will, and how you handled that.
Well, you referring to the situation at the Jenners involving Noah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'll try to make it brief. We've actually had a couple issues involving this one rancher, and essentially what occurred well over a year ago is we had I got a call, and actually I was in Colorado at the time attending a National Sheriff's Association event, and this rancher advised me, hey, I've got a NOAA, which is the National Oceanic Atmospheric Agency. They have an Office of Law Enforcement, which primarily enforces federal law for the National Marine Fisheries Service. So I got a armed NOAA agent on my ranch reading me my constitutional Miranda rights and working some kind of criminal investigation against me. And I said, well, what is it for? And he said, well, they claim that someone filed a complaint against me, evidently an environmental activist, that some coho salmon fingerlings, some minnows, allegedly died in a puddle in a creek that flows through his property. And I said, well, let me find out, you know, what's going on here. And come to find out, what happens in Northern California a lot is these environmental activists, they write these grandiose letters to these federal and state agencies, and some of them are very anti-ranching and very anti-farming. Now, in Siskiyou County, unfortunately, we've always had a rich heritage of timber, ranching and farming, kind of the backbone of the county. We have the fifth largest county geographically in the state. And we also have a rich history of mining and recreation. So come to find out, this environmental activist files this complaint, and a lot of this is via letters and online. And when I returned a couple days later, I immediately tried to contact NOAA. Now, they're on the coast, and we're about 155 miles inland. And my question to the NOAA authorities were, what are you doing in Siskiyou County? I don't understand why you would come to my county and initiate an enforcement action and, you know, protocol and officer and deputy safety imperatives dictate that you contact the sheriff because he or she is the chief law enforcement officer in the 58 counties of California. And their response was, well, we got a complaint and we were with the Fish and Game, but come to find out they're with a game warden from the California Department of Fish and Game. So I said, well, what are you attempting to work this criminal investigation about? And the thing is they kind of downplayed it initially and said, well, we're just looking into this complaint that we received. I said, well, you don't just conduct an informal inquiry and read someone, their Miranda rights. And what happened is, make a long story short, we had a meeting at my office. The officials from the Office of Law Enforcement from NOAA flew up here from Long Beach. And my concerns were, one is, why did a federal agency whose primary investigative authority normally rests on the coastal waters of California drive 155 miles into my county and initiate a criminal investigation against a rancher who, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the greatest citizens that I know in this county, and I'm not really close friends with him, but my experience has been ranchers and farmers are some of the greatest citizens. They're some of the hardest working people that you'll ever meet. And they know more about the environment and how to protect the environment than probably a whole boatload of federal scientists. I guarantee you that. So I told them that I had a problem with them coming to my county without notifying me. I had a problem with them initiating a criminal investigation at the federal level, when you had a state fish and game warden there available to work any kind of illegal alleged take of these coho salmon fingerlings, and I had a real problem with you subjecting this farmer to court action, because any criminal action, you know, these federal agencies and I don't have any problems with like DEA and FBI and ATF. I get along fine with them. It's just these agencies from outside my county that come in here. They treat treat these citizens without any dignity or, you know, respect to them as prominent citizens and as hardworking, you know, ranchers in this county. And not only that, is they're going to subject them to court action, and the closest court is the Eastern District U.S. Court in Sacramento, which is something like 275 miles from their home. And I told Noah, I said, you know, subjecting this rancher who ranching is a 24-hour business, and this family, they would have to drop what they're doing, pay someone to take care of their ranch, and drive 275 miles one way, you know, to fight whatever misdemeanor or felony action that was going to be initiated against them. And then, you know, the big boss told me, well, we weren't necessarily working a criminal investigation, and you know, he shouldn't have, you know, the agent shouldn't have read, you know, Mr. Jenner his rights. But you know, this is just, to me, I felt it was you know, at least a borderline abuse of federal police power, at least in this case. And then we had another issue with the Jenners I'll mention really briefly. I got another call from the Jenners a few months later and said, hey, I'm getting calls from a couple agencies that want to visit my ranch. And I said, well, what is it this time? Well, he took gravel out of a dry creek bed that goes dry every year, and his family's been doing the same thing for five generations. And another issue was one of these environmental activists filed a complaint alleging that some cattle on his property was seen near a creek, and the cow urinated in this creek, thereby polluting the water and endangering the coho salmon habitat in the area. I said, you got to be kidding me. You know, no. He said, that's true. And let me tell you what agents of the federal or state government were going to visit Mr. Jenner. And just imagine, we're a remote county, and all these agencies, a lot of them are coming from outside. We had the Corps of Engineers weighing in. We had NOAA coming back. We had the North Coast Regional Water Control Board, which is a state entity. We had the California Department of Fish and Game. They weren't really involved in the enforcement action, but they were going to be present. And then we had the Environmental Protection Agency involved. All these agencies were going to visit this rancher who's just trying to make a living. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what we had going on in Siskiyou County involving that particular rancher.
I'm still laughing, Sheriff Lopey. I was raised on an Iowa farm, okay? Cows urinating in a stream. Come on. I mean, go on. I'm laughing. It's just like these enviros, they go to some super university, get politically convinced that they're God, and I'm just laughing. This isn't common sense. It's like you're going to take a livelihood. When did we lose our right to grow food? And this is how bad it's getting, okay? So what happened then, there was obviously a big upstir, you know, Liz Bowen and playing politics, and a Tea Party meeting, by the way, which was probably 5 years ahead of the Tea Party. But we've been organizing because we have got these problems with the environmentalists. We have one of some of the greatest resources in the country, in our county, timber, ranching. We've got mining. Oh, my gosh. And yet they have successfully shut down a big part of this. We've got a lot of poverty, alcoholism. We've got single moms. We've got a lot of problems. Thank you, environmentalists. You don't know what you're doing. This is beyond frustrating, and it's come to the point where, of course, there's lawsuits, court cases. We won a victory recently. It's just like, oh, my gosh, the people are really upset, because in my simple Iowa farm boy perspective is, you guys have no common sense, okay? And so
Kelly, I'll tell you right now, common sense has left the modicum of political thought in many regards. We have great federal and state representatives up in Northern California here. We have Jim Nielsen, who just got the state Senate seat. We have a great guy by the name of Brian Daly. And we have Doug LaMalfa, who just took Wally Herger's place in Congress. But I'll tell you, we had 22 lumber mills in Siskiyou County in the early 80s. I have ancestors that were in the timber industry. We have two now. So all we got left is ranching and farming, recreation, and a little bit of mining. These policies are ill-conceived. In my opinion, many of them are probably unconstitutional. And every time a hardworking citizen tries to make a living, somebody's slapping them in the face. And I'll tell you, and I've said this before, for about three or four decades up here, we've had some, and I'm not saying all, but some agencies up here have catapulted or exalted the fish and the frogs and the birds and the trees above the interests of these hardworking great Americans in Siskiyou County. And that's the bottom line. That is what's happening here. And you think, and people ask me, well, why are you getting involved? Well, you know what, as a sheriff, I'm a little upset that this is going to be a record homicide year for us. We have record levels of child abuse, domestic abuse, elder abuse, drug abuse, and alcohol abuse occasioned by all these people that no longer have decent jobs and have to go on welfare, get food stamps, and then they end up growing marijuana or selling methamphetamine. That's what is happening in counties like mine. Rural America is under attack, and most of the rural sheriffs in Northern California that I work with, they're all great sheriffs, see the same thing and pretty much agree with that assertion.
And speaking of, I'm going to ask a question I should have asked a long time ago because it came from the audience. The audience, I've got, and thank you, Cindy, for the question. I apologize for taking so long to get to it to ask. And this is for Sheriff Christopher, and of course, Sheriff, you could chime in as well. But it has to do with Delaware. That's why I'm directing him. And she asks, could you ask the sheriff, what exactly was it that Delaware was doing regarding foreclosures that was providing them with revenue?
They have, in the state of Delaware.
Thank you.
Hello, John, by the way. Good to hear from you, Sheriff Lopey.
Thank you. Good to hear from you, too.
What they've done in Delaware is, in Sussex County and Kent and Newcastle County, they have created something in the way of a land transfer fee. And that fee is directly related to the transfer of one particular parcel into the holdings or hands or name of a corporation or even a private entity or private party. Every time that is changed, the state or county benefits by way of these fees, land transfer fees. When the real estate industry took a hit and it started to decline, it started to affect the revenue of the entities that collect this revenue rather hard. So they had to scramble to see what they could do to continue to keep the revenues going and what have you. So they would devise ways of creating fees with something that didn't really have anything to do with an individual trying to buy a house. Whatever. It made it even more difficult for a person or a family to come in and obtain a home, especially if they wanted to do something like agriculture or the industry of agriculture to promote it. So they were kind of shooting themselves in the foot. And the problem that we have, that I have with it, and I think Sheriff in New Hampshire, Chris Conley, who's investigating some of these bank frauds, is the banks have a lot of the control over this. And they're buying back the properties and just buying up land left and right and leaving these houses and lots vacant. So that, and of course, Sheriff Lopey will tell you, when you have vacancies like that, you have something called squatting. you have something called the setup of drug houses, because these properties are, they're never being maintained by the banks. The bank almost forgets them. You get people calling in as concerned neighbors saying, well, what's the deal with this empty house down here? There's a lot of unusual traffic in and out of this house. And you come to find out that there's some group or entity that sets up in there to try to sell drugs, prostitution, you name it. It all runs the gamut. And this is all at the hands of the laws that are created by these state and county governments to create revenue. And again, it puts people out of work. It causes them to lose their homes. And I want to make sure that these land transfers are done legally and according to law. And if it's unconstitutional, I'm going to do everything I can to stop it from happening. And we're just now getting into that aspect of it. We've done a lot of research on it, and we want people to be aware of it. It's happening everywhere. It's happening all over the country. Again, Chris Connolly, Sheriff Connolly in New Hampshire is looking, recognized and is looking into the same exact thing.
Wow.
Real quick, Kelly, but before we continue, I just want to make note that we have a little less than 19 minutes of live time left. So if anyone would like to call in the case if there is an unextended version of the show, which, of course, people could call in to listen or to chime in at area code 347-945-7428. And if you would like to chime in the extended edition, go ahead and just push the 1 on your phone dial, and that will let me know that you would like to chime in instead of just listen. And also, of course, if you just want to listen to the archives will be available shortly after the show. And so we can, you know, do it that way. So sorry for the interruption, gentlemen. Continue. I just wanted to put that out there for the folks, just in case we do end up going to extended period. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, Robert. Yeah, I just wanted to point out, and of course, Sheriff Lopey, we still got him here for a little bit. I just wanted to point out the excellency in which he performed his duties. He was, of course, saying, "Hey, Feds, what are you doing? I mean, the ocean's like way over there, and you're inland. But the citizenry here, we were pretty upset." And so he called a town hall meeting at the fairgrounds. It was kind of an emergency thing. And he started beginning to, you know, what are we going to do? You know, we had not Wally Herger, but Doug LaMalfa came up, who is now, by the way, a United States congressman. He was our representative in the state legislature. So, you know, several people came up, supervisors. How do we deal with this? Because, you know, the way the people are here, the revolution is going to start here. I mean, it's that bad. But they're starting to back off. So he had to deal with, you know, the feds. He dealt with the citizenry great with a town hall meeting. Hey, we're on it. Why don't you come to us, you know, if you got a problem? And I point blank just, I attended and I said, raised my hand and said, hey, can I do a citizen's arrest? And he said, yes, you can. And he helped with that and some other implications. And then there was a sheriff's conference in, I believe it was November or early December. We had about 1,000 people show up. We had 6 sheriffs show up. The three theme message was that I got from this was, number one, we know the feds and the states are getting out of line. Number two, we love the Constitution. Number three, we will help you. We will protect you. And so, Sheriff Lopey, if you want to comment a little bit more on just kind of, you know, what I just mentioned.
Yeah, well, you know, this event we had, it was a rural sheriff's event. Kirk McKenzie helped us out with the big one where we had about 1,000 people here in Wairika, but the great thing about it was we had a attorney by the name of Karen Bud Fallon, but we had about 8 sheriffs, and these sheriffs, most of them were from Northern California, and all of them are friends of mine. We all united and we came together to support the citizens of Siskiyou County and those elsewhere. And we got a groundswell of support from not only our own county, but contiguous counties, and also a bunch of people came up in the Bay Area, because some of these problems that we're having here dealing with private property rights and basic constitutional rights of our citizens are also being threatened in other parts of the state, including the San Francisco Bay Area. So we got a lot of support, and this gained a lot of momentum. And we thereafter we actually conducted several of these sheriff's forums in other counties, and we're going to do some more in the future. And in these counties, we discussed those issues that were most pressing or most significant for us. And they're all pretty similar, but every county is unique in their own way.
Sheriff Lopey, may I ask you still, Sage?
Okay.
Sheriff Lopey, do you have a video of the rural sheriff's events by any chance? I'm a commissioner from Michigan, and I'm also a Tea Party founder and founder of Constituting Michigan Founding Principles Act, and I put on events. And we were, Sheriff Christopher, was mentioning the fact that we need to educate our public. And, putting on events such as you're referring to at the moment would be great as far as getting the public educated in the problems with the sheriff departments.
Yeah, they have
the constitutional issues therein.
Yeah, we have videos on Pie in Politics, which is the Siskiyou County, and I think that the Kirk McKenzie, I believe, has some of those recordings. We record them all, so you can definitely find them, on the internet. And the thing is one of the things you're right. A lot of this is education. People are so busy. Trying to survive in this poor economy and with all the challenges they have in life, it's really important that we stay abreast of what those events are in our counties that impact our people the most. And we also have to educate people about the Constitution, because quite frankly, when I came into office, it had been a long time since I read, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And obviously the schools aren't doing a bang-up job, teaching these tenets and these principles and these traditions which made our country great. And if we don't go back to those basic tenets...
Well, funny you should mention that, because I'm the founder of Constituting Michigan Founding Principles. If I might.
Yeah.
I need to reiterate. In Michigan, we started a program called the Constituting Michigan Founding Principles Act. And what it does, see, what's the whole problem in a nutshell with our elected officials in Washington and on a state level and commissioners, it's amazing. I mean, Republicans are supposed to be the conservative party, but when you get to county government, they're not, and I'm sure you've noticed that. And what has happened, it's not on a legislative level, is our legislators in this country no longer know what the founding principles are because they were never taught the founding principles. And we have a program here in Michigan that puts the founding principles back into the social structure through the school system from K through 12.
That's
and
great.
I mean, it teaches everything. It's visual education from 5 through 8, and from 8 through 12, it's hardcore meat and potatoes. And,
we're
using the Hillsdale Academy curriculum.
And how did you, in committee at the state legislature, how was that met in committee?
Well, that's how I got hooked up with Kelly, one of the co-hosts of the program. Kelly found out about me through Carson Tucker, because what we did, we came up with a program on a state level. Now, we're trying to take this to other states. And without me going, it would take me an hour to explain the whole program to you, so I will give you my email and we can get together. I can tell you about it. But what it does, we started with a program. I wrote the original resolution back in, I think it was December 5th of 2010, I think it was. And, by January of 2011, David Steadman, if you remember who that is, he was on President Reagan's cabinet. He's 92 years old. Called me on the phone and, praised me for the fact that I got more done in 5 months than he did in 7 years trying to do the same thing. And we actually have a bill. It's HB 5240. That's HB 5240. You go to MichiganVotes.org. And you can read it. And it literally puts the constitutional curriculum and founding principles back into the social structure through the school system. And that's what we have to do. We have to figure out where the socialists have taken over our society, and we have to attack the base of the same fronts that the socialists or progressives through our school systems have taken over our country. And it lies right in the fact that the problem with our country is the lack of founding principles that made our country great.
Well, Commissioner, I wanted to ask you just a real quick one. How was it met in the committee at the state legislature?
Well, it's not in the committee, but what we did, it's going into the education committee very quickly. I was on the phone with Lisa Lyons the other day, who was the chair of that committee. And the bill is written, and we actually formed a committee to write the bill. Then we put it in the Michigan Republican Party convention as one of the issues, and it passed the convention 1,205 to 26 delegates.
Wait. I got to stop you there. So obviously in Michigan, you have a whole bunch of people that loved your concept.
Oh, yeah. And we wrote the bill. It's written. It's got a House number, HB number. Okay, we're probably going to get it passed. And we did it very quickly. We want to take it to the other states, though, because one state's not enough. The whole problem with our country is our founding principles are no longer taught to our kids. I mean, probably, I bet you over half of the legislators in Washington haven't even read the Constitution, let alone know what founding principles are. And every sheriff that's listening to this program right now with me will agree with it.
I agree 100%.
And that's why we need to take this. You need to take it to where the rubber meets the road, every front, including your fourth branch, your hidden fourth branch, Kelly.
Yeah, the grand jury, yeah. Sheriff Lopi, I want to discuss a little further. Let me tell you, okay, I'm not in the sheriff's department, obviously. There are people that have said to me, man, they come on my property, I'm shooting them dead. But you have had a calming effect, okay? You have had a calming effect in that, look, I'm here. I'm going to help. You obviously, by accidents, have gotten the feds out of our ranches and et cetera, et cetera. But I am seeing people who would otherwise, you know, I'm raised on Iowa farm. I know how to shoot a gun. I can outshoot most people. But, you know, I have seen a calming effect by what you did. You stepped in. And I can only hope that the rest of the country sees that the sheriff is again, the supreme law enforcement officer of the county. And that as we continue, there have been studies, okay, this was on Rush Limbaugh. September 2011, there was a Gallup poll, 49% of the American people believe that the federal government has become too big and poses a threat to everyday citizens. When we have the sheriff who is actually getting involved, who is leading us in the right direction, who is interfacing with the citizenry, we start to have peace because we know we have a way to resolve our problems. Of course, there's the grand jury, but also the sheriff. I'm so elated with the show and you guys coming on, because what I already knew, you guys are expressing, and you guys are there. You're on the front lines. You're in the trenches. And I just, you know, any other thoughts you have, Sheriff Lopi or Sheriff Christopher, then, of course, we'll go into overtime here in a few minutes. The floor is yours.
What I'll tell you, you know, just in a nutshell, is these sheriffs that are working together on these issues to protect our citizens and our way of life, you know, these are great men. And the bottom line is you got to be more interested in serving the people. I mean, we are here to serve the people. We are not here for people to serve us. And the whole issue of, you know, our Judeo-Christian roots are steeped, and our Constitution is steeped in servitude to the citizens that we are supposed to be serving. And we have too many people that are too interested in getting reelected and too interested in their own interests instead of looking at what's right, applying a little bit of common sense, and protecting our people. We got the greatest people in the world, you know, here in Siskiyou County, as far as I'm concerned. And I, quite frankly, you know, I guess I'm fortunate because, you know, I've retired from two other organizations, the California Highway Patrol and the military, because I spent almost 38 years active in reserve. But I know what it's like in countries that have totalitarian regimes and where people don't have any freedom and they have practically nothing. I know what it's like. and I don't want my country to be like that. And I probably am a little bit more mouthy because, you know, quite frankly, I'm just here to do the best job I can, just like the other sheriffs. And I want my country to be more or less like it was when I was growing up. And I want that same country for my kids and my grandkids. And the way it's going, it's not going to be that way.
And I hate to interrupt, gentlemen, but I do see that there's only 5 minutes left of live time. And, of course, as Kelly has pointed out, we will have, after that point, have about 59 minutes of possible overtime extended period, in which, folks, if you'd like to listen in or chime in as well to the show after that, it's area code 347-945-7428. And because we only have the 5 minutes of live time left, I'd like to take this time to, of course, thank everyone who called in tonight into the show, and thank you for all the listeners, whether it's here on Blog Talk Radio or if you're listening through the Bard's Logic Political Talk website or some of the other venues in which the show is listened through. Thank you for coming in tonight, or if you have listened to this on the archives, thank you as well. And also, if you do not stay on to listen to the extended version, of course, you can hear the rest of the conversation on the archives soon after the show is over. And so I'd like to tell people about our Thursday show next week, in which we will have the woman who composes the music for the TV show Bones. I will be interviewing her next Thursday night here on Bard's Logic Political Talk. So I'm looking forward to that, and it'd be great for you can come on to join us. And please, if you're new to the show, if you're not already doing this, and you like the content of what you're hearing, you can follow the show just by simply hitting the follow button under the show's icon here on Blog Talk Radio. And also, as I said, once again, I want to mention the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And you can get to the Get Involved page where, as I said earlier, you can get the link to go to the CSPOA.org, and there will be a link to that there as well. So we only have the 3 minutes left. I'd like to reiterate the 347-945-7428 number for people to call in. So I will open up the show again, gentlemen. As I said, thank you for letting me interrupt, and go ahead.
Sheriff Christopher here. I just want to thank John Lopey, Sheriff Lopey, for his stance, and appreciate what he's done out there. I've met him several times, and he is certainly an outstanding Christian and a great sheriff, and Siskiyou County is lucky to have such a man there. And just want to reiterate, too, that he has also been supportive to CSPOA and has attended the conventions, and he understands, and the same as I do. The one thing I would say, never in the history of the United States has any legislative body in any state ever created a bill that says the sheriff does not have any arrest power. And that is the essential and the most basic power that a sheriff has to have in order to be the conservator of the peace. And I know that sheriffs and deputies put their lives on the line every day. And just as Sheriff Lopey said, we're not here. We don't exist for the people to serve us. We serve the people, and we must keep in mind that it is a central idea of this country that the founding fathers recognized as well, as the importance is in the sovereign, and that is the people of the country. And if we don't right now stand up and support efforts like the CSPOA, we're going to deserve what we get. And it scares me. It scares me for my children and my grandchildren. I look at this thing and I say, what a potential flood is coming. And yet there's so much apathy there that exists that people, I think they realize when it comes to these issues that are being broadcast out here, and they're trying to survive and they're trying to, you know, go about their lives. But I think a lot of these people that are behind these movements are going to just basically shock the people into the fact that we've got you, no matter what you do, we've got you pinned into a situation. And the sheriff is the one hope that they have to keep the clamps from clamping down any tighter with regard to states' rights and the property, private property of people across this country and in every county. So I would ask the people to realize that, you know, the support your sheriffs. Come out and educate as many people as you can. Come out and support your sheriffs financially to help them to maintain and educate what the CSPOA stands for. And just give of your heart, your time. If you have a little extra money, throw it at us. We're going to use it wisely. We're going to do the best we can to reach out there to these other sheriffs and make them realize that they have a responsibility to the people. And I believe those efforts will be well rewarded, and we can preserve this country for our children, for our grandchildren for years to come. And we don't have to tolerate what's coming down the pike. We can say no to it. It's our country. This is our house. We don't have to have ideas of other countries that have never worked, and we certainly don't have to have Americans that come up with these ideas for whatever reason to promote their own agendas. When we have better ideas, we know the simplicity of the Founding Fathers worked for us, and it's been working for us for hundreds of years. We don't want to change it, and it's time for us to stand up and defend it. And that's basically what I want people to understand and know. Just support your sheriffs and come out and support those particular, like Sheriff Lopey and Sheriff Mack and Brad Rogers and all the rest of these guys across the country that are standing up. It's because they have a love for God and country and their fellow citizens, that's for sure.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming in and for staying for the 2 hours of the live session. Of course, if you like, you know, if you need to go for the evening, that's much understood. If you'd like to still stay and continue because you'd like to get more out, that's fine as well. And, of course, you'd be more than welcome to come on subsequent shows for we could discuss these things further as well as to give updates when they come about. So just like to give the opportunity to say thank you again. And, you know, if you need to go, as I said, that's fine. But if you'd like to stay, that's fine as well. So we'll continue on. I do see that we do have some callers, so press 1 on the number dial if you'd like to chime in to the discussion tonight. And I see a few folks have already pushed the button to say that they would like to chime in. So, gentlemen, whichever way you would proceed, go ahead. And then I will have the callers who wish to chime in. I'll bring them in a few minutes. Go ahead, guys.
Sheriff Christopher. This is Bill.
Yes, sir.
Do you plan on coming to Michigan in the near future?
It's not on my immediate scope, but mm-hmm. We have talked about a convention up and coming in Delaware, and we're going to see where that goes. I understand, and I've got 2 more years in my my tenure as far as the sheriff, my first term, and we're going to try to do the best we can to you know, get myself promoted so I can get elected once more and continue pushing this message out there to other sheriffs. We want to be able to come up and help some of the sheriffs in Michigan to describe to them through the CSPOA and through the support of the folks so we can come up there. Sheriff Mack is also given me permission to say that if you need those kinds of outlets, we've got one here in Maryland under Mike Perutka. Michael Perutka runs the Institute of the Constitution, or for the Constitution, here in Annapolis, Maryland, the home of the Naval Academy. And he also has...
What was his name again? I'm sorry.
Michael Perutka. P-E-R, I believe it's U-E or E-U. TKA.
And he runs what institute is that?
Institution for the Constitution, or Institute for the Constitution.
I've worked with Kirby Center a little bit.
he's wonderful. He's an attorney here in Maryland and really puts himself out there and makes himself available for the education of the Constitution. And he's kind of followed us around with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers conventions. He's been there, and we introduced him to Sheriff Mack this year. And it's a great. We just had one session here in Annapolis, and it was well attended. And I guarantee you, if you inquire, and I'll help you get linked up with them, if you inquire and you want them to come to Michigan, they'll certainly do it.
Well, I do. I'm out. I'm pushing an agenda, you know, and that's, you know, I'm doing what I can to help save our country. And
I thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. And Sheriff Lopey, you mentioned that, what do you call it, a rural sheriff's event, or you call it a sheriff's conference, correct?
Yes. Can I get with you just a minute? I'm talking to my field lieutenant over an important issue. I'll be right with you. Yeah, it's the rural sheriff's event, and I'll get right back with you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Go ahead.
I got it. I want to interject about my meeting today with Sheriff Lopey, okay? By the way, I did this before with Sheriff Rick Riggins, his predecessor. And so we're sitting in our office, we're talking, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And here comes this other deputy, Mr. Weed, and they start talking about, of course, Sheriff's business. And I'm just, like, sitting there watching, and Sheriff Weed, Deputy Weed's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, he's doing his job, okay? He's got his issues with law enforcement because, of course, the economy is having a lot of problems and crime has always increased. And what's the point of my conversation here? Get to know your sheriff. Get to know deputies. They're human beings just like us. I helped Sheriff Rick Riggins get elected. It wasn't a big help, but it was, hey, you know, little town of Fort Jones, I want to hold a luncheon for you. We got 25 people. He came, he spoke, he got elected. You know, they're people. They're just everyday people, just like you and I. There's not this, oh, barrier, oh, my gosh, they're empowered. No, look, they're human beings, okay? And Lopey has taken the time to talk to me. When I first met him, when he was running, he had a stand at the fairgrounds, okay? And, you know, he just walking through the fairgrounds, a little exhibits, all the stuff, and, oh, Sheriff, okay, I want to talk to him. You know what? He asked questions about me. He really cared, okay? He's a human being, and, you know, of course, he needs our votes, but I think he's pretty much got it in this county, but, you know, they're human beings. Talk to your deputies. I got a friend from my church. His name's Ice Pike. He's a great guy, of course. Sheriff Lopey said, oh, yeah, he's a great guy. You know, they're human beings, and they have put their lives on the line. And while I was waiting in the lobby to talk to him, I noticed that they've got a little memorial exhibit of sheriffs, deputies, who have given their lives. They were killed in the line of duty. These people protect our security. And they need our respect, they need our support, they're human beings, they need our help. And they do a great service for our county. And, you know, I just, this guy, okay, I mean, I'll say this again, I said it earlier. So I'm standing in the lobby waiting, okay, yeah, he's busy, I understand he's doing official business like he's doing right now, off phone. But I noticed there was five concealed carry permits up on the wall. They were from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. I was just waiting there, and some guy comes in, and he I want a concealed carry permit. And the clerk's like, okay, yeah, no problem. Boom, boom. He got it. He left. In Lassen County, there's a problem right now. Sheriff Christopher mentioned this. A lot of concealed carry permits are being authorized by the sheriff, and for some reason, the county supervisor didn't like that. Well, they kind of started to cut his budget and play games like Sheriff Christopher has experienced. We are in a power struggle, okay? We are in a power struggle. And these guys, these great men who are protecting us, they need our support, and they're human beings. Reach out, talk to a deputy, say hey. Even, you know, so go meet with the sheriff. They're human beings. So, and you know, I've been well-received by Lopey and Rick Riggins, and you know, I'm being redundant here, but they're human beings and need our support, and I think they're very worthy of it.
And at this time, gentlemen, I have a couple callers in. What we'll do is we'll have them come in, and they can chime in, and then we'll proceed to close things out unless the folks want to continue on. But after these two, we will look to close some things out, and we will have them come in order of how long they've been on hold to chime in. And the first one is 903. Your mic is live. Thank you very much for calling into the show.
Thank you. Well, I really have enjoyed it. I'm sorry I wasn't on at the very beginning, but really great information. And I was going to ask who I needed to contact on a local level to be sure that I could share this archive with them so that they are able to connect with the sheriffs and all. And I guess Kelly was mentioning that the number one person I need to call or share this with would be the sheriff. But on besides just the sheriffs, what other officials in the or in a local community would you share this archive with, this information that about the sheriffs?
Well, what I would suggest, this is Sheriff Christopher speaking.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
What I would suggest to you is to get to know your elected officials. There's so many people out here who don't know them by name.
Mm-hmm.
And when you directly have a speaking relationship with them, they feel more responsible to you.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in person, when they're standing there looking at you in your eyes, we are built by God basically to respond to guilt. And if you have to, you can bring the guilt card to them and say, what are you doing? Why are you voting this way or voting that way? Or don't you understand what you're doing is giving away our freedoms and our liberties by doing what you're doing? And you can use powerful tools such as the Internet and connect them with your Tea Parties and your and Republican meetings or even the Democrats meetings or whatever you have in your county as a system of tools that you can educate them. If you go to CSPOA.org, which is the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers, or you can Google Sheriff Mack, M-A-C-K. You can see on YouTube some of the verbiage that's there to your at your disposal. There's numerous CDs available. In fact, if you request them, I urge you to join CSPOA. You can request some of the CDs, and I'm sure they'll send them to you. And you can use them to educate these people. The tough thing is to get them to sit down and listen and
mm-hmm.
pay attention. And how you do that is you just kind of move up the ladder. You get people that are influential already in their lives and get them persuaded, and then you can just kind of move up the scale.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Tea Parties are a good resource for you to play these. And the key thing there is to get them to understand the role of the sheriff and what his job duties and his oath of office is. And once
mm-hmm.
you understand it clearly, it doesn't take much to make them understand. They just don't get all the pieces of the puzzle. You can provide that for them. And the other thing I might want to mention to you is CSPOA right now is actively looking for liaisons or sponsors in every county. We're going to try to target two sponsors in every county in this country to actually go and visit their sheriff on a routine basis, persuading that individual to adapt to his oath of office and
that's
to go
good.
Back and return
that's
to that.
That's really good. Mm-hmm.
So we will be looking for those people, and we're going to be doing very soon in the near future, and that's why we're trying to get people to join so we can get more email venues out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're interested in those kinds of things in your county, I would suggest that you talk to as many people as you can, educate them, and then come forward and tell us that's what you'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we will begin to record names.
Are you also, have you already reached out into the Texas area? I mean,
we do. We have, in fact, that's where Sheriff Mack lives. He
okay.
lives in Fredericksburg, Texas.
Oh, okay.
And basically, we have some liaisons, some supporters, and people that are starting to hear the call. And the idea, in fact, that's where the idea came from, is the sponsors and liaisons came from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to target, there's 33,088 sheriffs, give or take a few, in the country,
mm-hmm.
Majority elected. And so they're going to respond to the movers and the shakers of the county that get things going and mm-hmm. get things done in the way of the voting process. And they're going to listen to those people.
And who would that one person, like if you, in a county, would it be the sheriff? Who, the sheriff's already connected to you. Who other than the sheriff would be the number one person, the mover or shakers in that community for us to talk to?
You have other elected officials such as your county council or county commissioners. And Commissioner
Bill, the city council or the county? Is that what you're saying, the city council?
County council. County commissioners, county council.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The county is separate from the city. If
mm-hmm.
you live within the city, the county council and the county commissioners are also still responsible to you as a person living within that county. And
I'm just in a small community, so
that would be your county sheriff then. County sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also approach the county commissioners as well.
Okay.
Some people are county councils. Some states are county councils, and others are, depending on the type of government that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let them buffalo you if you're not getting the answers that you should be hearing, because it's uniformly the same throughout the United States that our Constitution spells it out very clearly. They're subject to it as much as we are. And we adapted, and so should they. They take an oath of office as well to uphold and defend the Constitution at the state level and the United States, and they owe that to you. Their CEO.
The only reason why I'm mentioning Texas is because I know that, you know, there's a lot of people in Texas. When you start talking about gun rights and all, they people are just, it's like a beehive going on right now. I mean, people are talking about it that normally don't even talk about guns. I mean, they're just, everybody, and
that's good. That's a good thing. That's what,
and so the timing of it's very ripe as far as approaching those people in Texas, for sure. All those different sheriffs, all the different commissioners, so if anyone's listening to this archive, you know, they should jump on that, and you should be able to get people to sign up to be, you know, your helpers that you were suggesting, that you have different, you know, people in different counties to help with. What's the organization? I mean, I'm sorry, I got in here late.
Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org.
Mm-hmm. So Robert's probably going to post that, so that'd be good.
I do have a link there for the let me pull this up, the Constitutional Sheriffs, the CSPOA. I do have a link where folks can get that from to hear it over the archives, of course, but they also could go to www.bargelogicpoliticaltalk.com. And also, Mary, I have someone in another chat who
mm-hmm.
wants to speak directly to you.
Okay.
So I'm going to open up her mic. I believe it's Cindy. And
okay.
Cindy, I know you wanted to talk to Mary. And then Chris, I see you are on the line as well. And so after that, I will bring on Chris. So go ahead, Cindy. I believe your mic is on for you to say something to Mary. Go ahead, ladies.
Okay. Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. And the lady from Texas, you're in the same area code as my daughter, and I was just wondering, because they talked to me about the power of the Fish and Game Commission there, and that a Fish and Game officer in their county can actually arrest a federal officer also. But I was wondering where he is, since they can be, you know, run by environmentalist wackos, and, you know, they're not necessarily to be trusted. Can they also be, do you know anything about your county? Which county are you in, by the way?
In Lamar County.
Lamar, okay. You are near them.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Avery, which is near DeKalb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering, and Chris, maybe you can ask, you can answer this too. What is the the pecking order between the Fish and Game and the sheriff in that northeast section of Texas?
Well, I mean, I really don't know that. That's, I mean, I know a lot of different people that are in city government, and that's why I was kind of questioning them of who I need to talk to or whatever, because I do know a lot of, you know, judges and different people, but, you know, I just don't know who, you know, who I need to go to first with it, just to talk to them about it. I mean, but I think the number one thing from what Kelly was saying, too, is would be just to sit down with the sheriff first. But anyway, so that's...
that would be my suggestion, because your sheriff is the only elected law enforcement official.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one that's a law enforcement official that is elected by you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sense of, in most offices of sheriffs, there's a sense of the fact that they know that you are a constituent and basically that they work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not get that reaction from a police chief. You may not get that reaction from a city mayor or something along those lines. In fact, you probably won't. And there is a pecking order in every city, in every county, in every state. But the simple fact of the matter is the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer of that county. Whether he takes that role on or that responsibility on or claims that, he is that simply by the fact that he is given that authority by the Constitution. In other words, he's given that authority by you. The police chief is a statutory officer. He is created by state law. The sheriff is not created by state law. He's created by state constitutional law, which is a higher law of the land. It is the highest law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at it that way.
So the sheriff is over the police chief?
That is correct.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
And Texas sheriff does have a constitutional sheriff?
He is chief.
Kelly, here, I got to interject. Okay.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Not necessarily, okay? The federal government does not necessarily, in all cases whatsoever, only specific instances and specific authorities given by the states to the federal government through the Constitution. For example, Bond versus U.S., there was a situation in Ohio. It's a 2011 case where this lady, her name was Bond, she found out that her husband was sleeping with her best friend. Well, of course, Bond got all sorts of angry, retaliatory, and she started putting hazardous chemicals, you know, like sodium hydroxide, on doorknobs, mailboxes, whatever. It was a form of retaliation. It's quite subtle. The state didn't prosecute. The state didn't touch it. Said, you know, this is so stupid. You know, we're not going to bother with it. So the person who was injured, the girlfriend sleeping with the husband, called the feds. The feds came in, arrested Bond, threw her in the slammer. You have violated federal regulations that came about because of a UN treaty. You cannot have hazardous materials unless you are using them for industrial purposes. Oh, gosh, really? Anyway, so what happened was she pleaded guilty with the right to appeal. She appealed all the way to the United States Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled this. This is similar to Prince versus U.S. we talked about earlier. And by the way, Prince versus U.S. Scalia said, we have two systems of accountability. We have, in this country, we have dual sovereignty, states versus the United States. Or, you know, states versus the federal. We have some dual sovereignty to keep each other in check. It's a system of checks and balances. So we went further into Bond versus U.S. where the state did not ask for the feds' help. The Supreme Court ruled, hey, look, you know what? Ohio did not ask for the Fed's help, and because they didn't ask for the Fed's help, guess what? We are going to release Bond immediately. So Ms. Bond got to go. So there are certain particulars you have to really carefully research regarding federal jurisdiction. The states, who created the federal government? The states did. When was the federal government in existence? Well, the Constitution wasn't in existence until 1789. well, what happened from 1776 to 1789? Or was it 88? Anyway, 12 years. Oh, that's right, the states. The states created the federal government and said, okay, we'll allow you some authority, put around this, in, you stay within this circle. The circle's kind of called the Constitution. We states are giving you authority, but only confined to this circle. So you got to be very careful when it's states versus federal. And there's experts on this, of course, legal experts. I'm just telling you based on history what I know. And so, yes, I know there are federal laws that do or don't apply. There are state laws that trump. It's kind of a tricky thing. And then this goes back to the sheriff's issue. The sheriff's issue, that's one level deep. Well, that's the county. And as Carson Tucker, the attorney, special counsel for Sheriff Christopher, has pointed out, your Supreme Court case is affirming the power of the sheriff, which is in the county of a state. So anyway, it takes a lot of research to figure this stuff out. But we do have local authority.
So, Chris, you're saying that, okay, if they have trouble with this fish and game guy on their property, they have a huge ranch out there, cattle ranch, and they hunt out there and stuff. Now, if they do something out there, I mean, they got cows that pee in their creeks. So if they do something out there that somebody decides they're going to do something to them about, send out these fish and game people, the sheriff may or may not be a recourse for them.
That's correct.
Okay.
If they're there, the easiest way to put this is if the fish and game enters upon that property without warrant or probable cause, he's in violation of his own oath, and the sheriff is technically obligated to protect the property rights and liberties of that individual who owns that property against an overreaching or tyrannical overreach of government. That fish and wildlife agent, if he's on that property without probable cause, then he's on there illegally, or without a warrant, he's on there illegally. It's the sheriff's job to go in and say, listen, if you don't have a warrant and you don't have probable cause to be here for some legitimate reason, and let me take that to one level higher. If there is a law that exists in the state of Texas that says you can't have cows peeing in the stream, and it basically falls under the purview of unconstitutional law, then the sheriff is still obligated to protect that property owner against unlawful intrusion upon that premises, because that's what property rights are all about. That's what the Constitution is all about, is the protection of those property laws against unconstitutional law. Listen, Washington, D.C., and the state's legislatures pass laws. That's their job. They get paid to do that. We elect them also to do that. And if, listen, you can't create too many laws, because if you walk down the street, you're breaking the law. Most people in many states realize that if they walk from point A to point B, they probably break 10 or 20 laws, because we're a nation of laws, but sometimes we overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you there are state legislatures that sit there and they dream up these ideas, even to the point where it says a cow can't pee in a stream, which is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life. But if we bow down to those things, we deserve what we get. And this is what the role of the sheriff is, to look at this, recognize it for its ludicrousy, and interject, or the proper word would be to interpose, against the overreaching government, the unconstitutional law itself, and to protect that citizen or that sovereign and his property rights. And that's what the Constitution is all about. So the question is, will he do it?
Yeah.
Well, so that's what we need to do, is to educate, make sure the sheriffs are all on the same page.
Well, that's what CSPOA... That's what CSPOA exists for.
Mm-hmm.
The whole purpose for the CSPOA is to educate sheriffs across this country,
mm-hmm,
about their duty, their oath, their obligation, and basically what they know about what I just explained to you in a simple answer. If they don't know these things, oftentimes we find that sheriffs don't realize what their power is, because they've been given the, I guess, the task of just being the law enforcement officer in the county. They are the county police, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And in essence, the county police is responsible to the government. And most county police agencies, their power comes from a statutory law that's been created that says ABC 123, the county police have law enforcement authority. And that's all that the state legislature needs to get that happening and get it done. And then, of course, they've got to fund it. But you can't do that to the sheriff. The sheriff is a constitutional officer, and he does not work for the government.
Mm-hmm.
He works for the people. And that's where the sheriff has forgotten. Sometimes he's so indelved into the law enforcement aspect of it, he forgets that he is the also, first and foremost, the interposer against, he protects you from other criminals and he protects you from government criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between a sheriff and a police chief. Police chief has no one to answer to for the most part because he doesn't work for you in the direct sense. He is not elected, so therefore he is an appointed position under a mayor or under a council of some sort, city council.
And so do you have, like, lists of, like, the different sheriffs that are involved with you and the ones that aren't, like, for Texas? Or, I mean, I guess I wouldn't really be interested in other areas, but in Texas I would. I mean, to, like...
Yes, well... You have sort of an indoor loop there that you can take advantage of, and that is Sheriff Mack himself. If you go on the CSPOA.org website,
mm-hmm.
and you inquire about Sheriff Mack and get a conversation going with him,
mm-hmm.
He will tell you of his own knowledge which counties basically that are supporting us from Texas. Now, he's been to the Texas Sheriff's Association meeting several times,
mm-hmm.
Talking to them and trying to convince them and educating them on what they're missing with regard to these things.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be your best resource regarding your question that you just asked. And it's simply, if you go on CSPOA.org,
mm-hmm.
Hit the contact button, and basically pose a question for Sheriff Mack, and I guarantee he'll get back with you.
Okay. That's good. There's also Chris wants to chime in, Robert. I don't know if you want to let him in.
I just actually was chatting with Chris, and he had some things he had to get to, as well as I'm sure the other gentlemen and ladies on the line must do as well. And mm-hmm. But I would like to thank him for staying to the extended period. So, and of course, you'd be more than welcome, as I said earlier, to come on back onto the show. So at this time, I will close things out. So now you were going to be the last caller for me to take this evening. So,
well, thanks for letting me in. I enjoyed
it. Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. Well, that's great. As I said, this is the people's show, the grassroots show, and I really appreciate the input as well.
All right. Thank you.
All right, well, take care, and Kelly, I will leave things for you if you have any closing comments or anyone else you would like to chime in with any closing comments. And then I'll end the show as I do every show, and that will be with some music. And this one tonight will be from a score that Julia Newman put together for me one time for one of the episodes. I really appreciate her doing that, and I look forward to speaking with her next Thursday on interviewing her. And, of course, many of you might know some of her works from the TV show Bones. She's also composed music for movies such as I Am Legend. And to check out more of her works, just go to www.julianewman.com. And that's, of course, Julia, J-U-L-I-A. Just spell his last name, newmann.com, to check out all she's worked. And we'll be speaking with her next week. So, Kelly, if you'd like to close things out, or anyone else, the gentleman who came on to speak tonight, go ahead. But if not, that's fine. When we will just proceed to closing things out with the song.
Wow. Well, okay, gosh. I'm so elated, kind of elated. I'm just beyond excited at the Sheriff Christopher, of course, Special Counsel Tucker. I want to throw something out here. The retaliation upon those who love the Constitution. Obviously, we've discussed Sheriff Christopher of Sussex County, Delaware, the retaliation he received from the county supervisors. Well, if you're Sheriff Arpaio, you happen to have retaliation from the Justice Department, directed by, of course, Obama. There's retaliation going on. Of course, if we have state and federal agents coming into a county to, you know, take guns, do whatever they think they can do because why they're God or they think they're God, what do we do about it? Well, you know, here we enter entering the grand jury. Well, when Sheriff Lopey had his quick town hall meeting to help the citizenry not pull the trigger, he mentioned that, you know, what do we do about this? Well, we're looking into the legal situation, you know. Reading between the lines, what I was hearing, okay, was, yeah, you go and arrest a state or federal agent as a sheriff, you're going to get sued, okay? Lawsuits are just, you know, they might get dismissed, but it's going to put your life through hell. You can get sued. It's a mess. It's the civil courts. It's the judges, blah, 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 blah. Here is a solution I'm proposing. Again, it goes back to the grand jury. So a citizen files a complaint with the sheriff, the district attorney, who gets it to a grand jury. The grand jury issues an indictment against a state or a federal agent. Why? Because it violated the Constitution. Why? Because the Fourth Amendment. They didn't have a warrant. They're on someone's property. That's called trespassing. So the grand jury issues an indictment for trespassing, hands it over to the sheriff. I was talking with him today. He said, well, of course, an indictment from a grand jury is handed down. I'm going to go arrest him. Of course, he knows his duty, and that's just the way it is. But in the bigger picture, what happens here, okay, with the grand jury getting involved, issuing an indictment for trespassing, state or federal agent, what happens here is he is protected. He is protected from retaliation from the civil lawsuits that can come against him. And this is beautiful. So we have citizens saying, hey, you know what, we're tired of the crap going on, and it's trespassing, we read the Constitution, it's so obvious, indictment, they gave it to the sheriff, it's over. Okay, he's doing his job. And, you know, the grand jury can protect the sheriff. And typically, by the way, there was a case in Medford last year. Police officers were, a guy was coming at him with a knife. They had to shoot because they had to protect themselves. Again, you know, your natural right of self-protection. The grand jury said, we're not going to indict them. They didn't have any question. They were no longer to be held to account. The grand jury has historically protected sheriffs and deputies for doing their job, which could include very well the arrest of federal and state agents for, say, confiscating guns. Oh, yeah, that's kind of a current issue. So, you know, hopefully I'll have some more conversations in supporting of the sheriff of this great concept called liberty. And again, I just want to close by saying thank you, Sheriff Christopher. Thank you, Sheriff Lopey. I know he's gone off to his duties. And thank you, Council Tucker. We are going to continue to educate the everyday people who will finally realize these are our solutions, and we will get back to a government that actually works for us, not against us. So I guess I'm running out of hot air right now.
That's okay, Kelly. And also, thank you, Commissioner Sage, for coming on to the show, as well as Mary and Cindy. And appreciate Chris coming in, where, of course, you can hear more of Chris from going to his Facebook page, which is Coalition of Freedom, which also is the host of a similar named show here on Blog Talk Radio, also named Coalition of Freedom. So we will close out, as I do every night, as I said, with a song here by Julia Newman. But before I do that, I didn't know whether anyone else wanted to say anything, so go ahead. If not, I will proceed to our song.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I just want to say thank you guys for coming and being on these shows and getting us guys informed. That's the key issue, is informing the general population.
Great. Well, take care, everyone. Good to see you, and hope to see you all again. Good night, and please stick around just for the last 3 minutes and 30 seconds to listen to this piece by Julia Newman. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, guys. Thank
you. Good night.
You.
Good night.